a woman in the castle, and you go out riding all day?
I had some thinking to do. Riding clears my head.
I'd say you have some thinking to do, Ramsay muttered beneath his breath.
With his heightened hearing, Grim heard each syllable. He turned and faced Ramsay levelly.
Just what is it you think I should be thinking about?
Ramsay looked startled.
I'm standing a dozen paces from you. There's no way you could have heard that. It was scarcely audible.
Obviously, I did, Grim said coolly. So, what is it you presume to tell me I should be thinking about?
Ramsay's dark eyes flickered, and Grim could see he was trying to suppress his volatile temper.
Let's try honor, Roderick, Ramsay said stiffly, honoring our host and his daughter.
Grim's smile was dangerous.
I'll make you a deal, Logan. If you do not bring up my honor, I won't drag yours out of the pigsty where it's been bedding down for years.
My honor!
Ramsay began hotly, but Grim cut him off impatiently. He had more important things to occupy his mind than arguing with Ramsay.
Let's just get to the point, Logan. How much gold do you owe the Campbell? Half of what Gillian's worth? Or is it more? From what I hear, you're into him so deeply you may as well have put yourself 6 feet under. If you bag the St. Clair Harris, you'll be able to clear your debts and live in extravagance for a few years. Isn't that right?
Not all men are as wealthy as you, Roderick. For some of us, whose people are vast in number, it's a struggle to take care of our clan. And I care for Gillian,
Ramsay growled.
I'm sure you do. The same way you care for seeing your belly filled with the finest food and the best whiskey. The same way you care for riding a pure-blood stallion. The same way you like to show off your wolfhounds. Maybe all those expenses are why you've been having a hard time maintaining your people.
How many years did you fritter away at court, spending gold as liberally as your clan procreates?
Ramsay turned stiffly and was silent a long moment. Grim watched him, every muscle in his body tensed to spring. Logan had a violent temper. Grim had experienced it before. He berated himself for antagonizing the man, but Ramsay Logan's tendency to put his own needs above those of his starving clan infuriated him. Ramsay drew a deep breath and turned around, astonishing Grim with a pleasant smile.
You're wrong about me, Roderick. I confess, my past isn't so exemplary, but I'm not the same man I used to be.
Grim watched him, skepticism evident in every line on his face.
See? I'm not losing my temper.
Ramsay raised his hands in a conciliatory gesture.
I can see how you might believe such things of me. I was a wild, self-centered reprobate once, but I'm not any longer. I can't prove it to you. Only time will prove my sincerity. Grant me that much, will you?
Grim snorted.
Sure, Logan. I'll grant you that much. You may be different. Worse,
Grim added in the privacy of his thoughts. He turned his gaze back to the flames. As Grim heard Ramsay turn to leave the room, he was unable to prevent himself from asking,
Where's Gillian?
Logan stopped in mid-step and shot a cool glance over his shoulder.
Playing chess with Quinn in the study. He intends to propose marriage to her tonight, so I suggest you give them privacy. Gillian deserves a proper husband, and if she won't have him, I intend to offer in his stead.
Grim nodded stiffly. After a few moments of attempting to block all thoughts of Gillian from his mind, Gillian, ensconced in the cozy study with Quinn, who was proposing marriage, and failing, he stalked back out into the night, more disturbed by Ramsay's words than he wished to admit. Grim wandered the gardens for nearly half an hour before he was struck by the realization that he'd seen no sign of his stallion. He'd left him in the inner ward less than an hour ago. Occam rarely wandered far from the castle. Puzzled, Grim searched the inner and outer wards, whistling repeatedly, but he heard nary a nicker, no thunder of hooves. He turned his thoughtful gaze to the stables that graced the edge of the outer bailey. Instinct quickened inside him, warning him, and he set off at a run for the outbuilding. He burst into the stables and drew to an abrupt halt. It was abnormally silent, and an odd odor pervaded the air, sharp, acrid, like the stench of rotten eggs. Peering into the gloom, he catalogued every detail of the room before stepping in. Hay tumbled in piles across the floor. Normal. Oil lamps suspended from the rafters. Also normal. All the gates shut. Still normal. Scent of a thing sulfuric. Definitely not normal. But not much to go on, either. He stepped gingerly into the stables, whistled, and was rewarded with a muffled neigh from the stall at the farthest end of the stables. Grimm forced himself not to lurch forward. It was a trap. While he couldn't fathom the exact nature of the threat, danger fairly dripped from the rafters of the low outbuilding. His senses bristled. What was amiss? Sulfur. He narrowed his eyes thoughtfully, paced forward, and gently scuffed at the hay beneath his boot, then stooped to push aside a thick sheaf of clover. He expelled a low whistle of amazement. He pushed at more hay, moved forward 5 paces, did the same, moved left 5 paces, and repeated the motion. Sweeping his hand across the dusty stone floor beneath the hay, he came up with a fistful of finely corned black powder. Christ! The entire floor of the stable had been evenly sprinkled with a layer of black powder. Someone had liberally doused the stones, then spread loose hay atop it. Black powder was made from a combination of saltpeter, charcoal, and sulfur. Many clans cultivated their own saltpeter in or near the stables to fashion the weapon, but the stuff spread on the floor was fully processed black powder, painstakingly corned to uniform granules, possessing lethal explosive properties, and planted deliberately. It was a far cry from the raw version of fermenting manure from which saltpeter was derived. Coupled with the flammability of the hay and the natural abundance of fresh manure, the stables were an inferno waiting to blow. One spark would send the entire stable up with the force of a massive bomb. If one of the oil lanterns fell or so much as coughed up an oily spark, the building and half the outer ward would be rocked by the explosion. Occam nickered, a sound of frustrated fear. He was muzzled, Grimm realized. Someone had muzzled his horse and pinned him in a deadly trap. He would never permit his horse to be burned again, and whoever had designed this trap knew him well enough to know his weakness for the stallion. Grimm stood, absolutely motionless, 10 paces inside the door, not too far to flee for safety if the hay started to smolder. But Occam was in a locked stall, 50 yards from safety, and therein lay the problem. A cold-hearted man would turn his back and leave. What was a horse, after all? A beast used for man's purposes. Grimm snorted. Occam was a regal, beautiful creature, possessing intelligence and the same capacity to suffer pain and fear as any human being. No, he could never leave his horse behind. He had barely completed that thought when something hurtled through the window to his left and the straw caught fire in an instant. Grimm lunged into the flames. In the coziness of the study, Jillian laughed as she moved her bishop into a position of checkmate. She stole a surreptitious peek toward the window, as she had 12 times in the past hour, seeking some sign that Grimm had returned. Ever since she'd glimpsed him riding out this morning, she'd been watching for him. The moment Occam's great gray shape lumbered past the study, Jillian feared she would surge to her feet, giddy as a lass, and be off at a run. Memories of the night she'd spent entangled with Grimm's hard, inexhaustible body brought a flush to her skin, heating her in a way a fire never could.
Not fair. How can I concentrate? Playing you when you were a wee lass was far easier,
Quinn complained.
I can't think when I play you now. Ah, the advantages of being a woman,
Jillian drawled mischievously. She was certain she must be radiating her newfound sensual knowledge.
Is it my fault your attention wanders?
Quinn's gaze lingered on her shoulders, bared by the gown she wore.
Absolutely,
he assured her.
Look at you, Jillian, you're beautiful.
His voice dropped to a confidential tone.
Jillian, lass, there's something I wish to discuss with you. Quinn, hush.
She placed a finger against his lips and shook her head. Quinn brushed her hand away.
No, Jillian, I've kept my silence long enough. I know what you feel, Jillian.
He paused deliberately to lend emphasis to his next words.
And I know what's going on with Grimm.
He held her gaze levelly. Jillian was immediately wary.
What do you mean?
She evaded. Quinn smiled in an effort to soften his words.
Jillian, he's not the marrying kind.
Jillian bit her lip and averted her gaze.
You don't know that for certain. That's like saying Ramsay's not the marrying kind because, from the tales I've heard, he's been a consummate womanizer. But only this morning he convinced me of his troth. Merely because a man has shown no past inclination to wed doesn't mean he won't. People change.
Grimm had certainly changed, revealing the tender, loving man she'd always believed he really was.
Logan asked you to marry him?
Quinn scowled. Jillian nodded.
This morning, after breakfast, he approached me while I was walking in the gardens. He offered for you? He knew I planned to do so myself!
Quinn cursed, then mumbled a hasty apology.
Forgive me, Jillian, but it makes me angry that he'd go behind my back like that. I didn't accept, Quinn, so it hardly matters. How did he take it?
Jillian sighed. The Highlander hadn't taken it well at all. She had the feeling she'd barely escaped a dangerous display of temper.
I don't think Ramsay Logan is accustomed to being rebuffed. He seemed furious.
Quinn studied her a moment, then said,
Jillian, lass, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I think you should be informed so you can make a wise decision. The Logan are land rich, but gold poor. Ramsay Logan needs to marry, and marry well. You would be a godsend to his impoverished clan.
Jillian gave him an astonished look.
Quinn, I can't believe that you would try to discredit my suitors. Heavens, Ramsay spent a quarter hour this morning trying to discredit you and Grimm. What's with you men?
Quinn stiffened.
I am not trying to discredit your suitors. I am telling you the truth. Logan needs gold. His clan is starving and has been for many years. They've scarcely managed to hold on to their own lands lately. In the past, the Logan hired out as mercenaries to get coin, but there have been so few wars in recent years that there is no mercenary work to be found. Land takes coin, and coin is something the Logan have never had. You are the answer to their every prayer. Excuse my crass way of wording it, but if Logan could bag the rich St. Clair bride, his clan would herald him as their savior.
Jillian nibbled her lip thoughtfully.
And you, Quinn de Moncrief, why do you wish to wed me?
Because I care deeply for you, lass,
Quinn said simply.
Perhaps I should ask Grimm about you.
Quinn closed his eyes and sighed.
Just what's wrong with Grimm as a candidate?
She pressed, determined to have it all out. Quinn's gaze was compassionate.
I don't mean to be cruel, but he will never marry you, Jillian. Everyone knows that Grimm Roderick has vowed never to wed.
Jillian refused to let Quinn see how his words affected her. She bit her lip to prevent any rash words from escaping. She had nearly worked up the courage to ask him why, and if Grimm had actually said such a thing recently, when a tremendous explosion rocked the castle. The windows rattled in their frames, the very castle shuddered, and both Jillian and Quinn leapt to their feet.
What was that?
She gasped. Quinn flew to the window and peered out.
Christ!
He shouted.
The stables are on fire!
Chapter 21 Jillian raced into the courtyard after Quinn, crying Grimm's name over and over, heedless of the curious eyes of the staff and the shocked gazes of Kaylee and Hatchard. The explosion had roused the castle. Hatchard was standing in the courtyard shouting orders, organizing an attack against the hostile flames that were devouring the stables and moving east to ravage the castle. The autumn weather had been dry enough that the fire would quickly rage out of control, gobbling buildings and crops. The teeming village of Daub and Wattle huts would ignite like dry grass if the flames encroached that far. A few stray sparks carried on the breeze could destroy the whole valley. Jillian frantically pushed that concern to the perimeter of her thoughts. She had to find Grimm.
Where's Grimm? Has anyone seen Grimm?
Gillian pushed through the throng of people, peering into faces, desperate to catch a glimpse of his proud stance, his intense blue eyes. Her eyes were peeled for the shape of a great gray stallion.
"Don't be a hero! Don't be a hero!" she muttered under her breath. "For once, just be a man, Grim Roderick! Be safe!"
She didn't realize she'd said the words aloud, until Quinn, who'd surfaced in the throng beside her, looked at her sharply and shook his head.
"Oh, Klaas! You love him, don't you?"
Gillian nodded as tears filled her eyes.
"Find him, Quinn! Make him be safe!"
Quinn sighed and nodded.
"Stay here, lass. I'll find him for you, I promise."
The eerie scream of a trapped horse split the air, and Gillian pivoted toward the stables, chilled by a sudden, terrible knowledge.
"He couldn't be in there, could he, Quinn?"
Quinn's expression plainly echoed her fear. But of course he could, and would. Grim could not stand by and watch a horse be burned. She knew that. He'd said as much that day at Dirkesh. In his mind, the innocent cry of an animal was as intolerable as the cry of a wounded child or a frightened woman.
"No man could survive that!"
Gillian eyed the inferno. Flames shot up, tall as the castle, brilliant orange against the black sky. The wall of fire was so intense that it was nearly impossible to look at. Gillian narrowed her eyes in a desperate bid to make out the low rectangular shape of the stable. To no avail. She could see nothing but fire.
"You're right, Gillian," Quinn said slowly. "No man could."
As if in a dream, she saw a shape coalesce within the flames. Like some nightmare vision, the white-orange flames shimmered. A blurred form of darkness rippled behind them, and a rider burst forth, wreathed in flames, streaking straight for the lock, where both horse and rider plunged into the cool waters, hissing as they submerged. She held her breath until horse and rider surfaced. Quinn spared her a quick nod of reassurance before racing off to join the fight against the inferno that threatened Caithness. Gillian darted for the lock, tripping over her feet in her haste to reach his side. As Grim rose from the water and led Occam up the rocky bank, she flung herself at him, burrowed into his arms, and buried her face against his sodden chest. He held her for a long moment until she stopped shuddering, then drew back, wiping gently at her tears.
"Gillian,"
he said sadly.
"Grim, I thought I'd lost you."
She pressed frantic kisses to his face while she searched his body with her hands to assure herself he was unharmed.
"Why, you're not even burned,"
she said, puzzled. Although his clothing hung in charred tatters, and his skin was a bit pinkened, there wasn't so much as a blister marring his smooth skin. She peered past him at Occam, who also seemed to have been spared.
"How can this be?"
she wondered.
"His coat has been singed, but overall he's fine. We rode fast," Grim said quickly.
"I thought I'd lost you,"
Gillian repeated. Gazing into his eyes, she was struck by the sudden and terrible understanding that although he'd burst from the flames, miraculously whole, her words had never been truer. She had lost him. She had no idea how or why, but his glittering gaze was teeming with distance and sorrow. With goodbye.
"No!"
she shouted.
"No! I won't let you go! You are not leaving me!"
Grim dropped his gaze to the ground.
"No!"
she insisted.
"Look at me!"
His gaze was dark.
"I have to go, lass. I will not bring destruction to this place again."
"What makes you think the fire is about you?"
she demanded, battling her every instinct that told her the fire had indeed been about him. She didn't know why, but she knew it was true.
"Oh, you are so arrogant!"
she pressed on bravely, determined to convince him that the truth was not the truth. She would use every weapon, fair or unfair, to keep him.
"Gillian."
He blew out a breath of frustration and reached for her. She beat at him with her fists.
"No! Don't touch me! Don't hold me! Not if it means you're going to say goodbye!"
"I must, lass. I've tried to tell you. Christ, I tried to tell myself I have nothing to offer you. You do not understand. It can never be. No matter how much I might wish to, I can't offer you the kind of life you deserve. Things like this fire happen to me all the time, Jillian. It's not safe for anyone to be around me. They hunt me.
Who hunts you?
She wailed as her world crumbled around her. He made an angry gesture.
I can't explain, lass. You'll simply have to take my word on this. I'm not a normal man. Could a normal man have survived that?
He flung his arm toward the blaze.
Then what are you?
She shouted.
Why don't you just tell me?
He shook his head and closed his eyes. After a long pause, he opened them. His eyes were burning, incandescent, and Jillian gasped as a fleeting memory surfaced. It was the memory of a 15-year-old who'd watched this man battle the McCain, watching as he'd seemed to grow larger, broader, stronger with every drop of blood that was shed, watching his eyes burn like banked coals, listening to his chilling laughter, wondering how any man could slay so many yet remain unharmed.
What are you?
She repeated in a whisper, begging him for comfort, begging him to be nothing more than a man.
The warrior who has always...
He closed his eyes.
Loved you,
he thought. But he couldn't offer her those words, because he couldn't follow up on what they promised.
Adored you, Jillian St. Clair. A man who isn't quite a man, who knows he can never have you.
He drew a shuddering breath.
You must marry Quinn. Marry him and free me. Don't marry Ramsay. He's not good enough for you. But you must let me go, because I cannot suffer your death on my hands, and that's all that could ever come of you and me being together.
He met her gaze, wordlessly beseeching her not to make his leaving any harder than it already was. Jillian stiffened. If the man was going to leave her, she was going to make certain it hurt like hell. She narrowed her eyes, shooting him a wordless challenge to be brave, to fight for their love. He averted his face.
Thank you for these days and nights, lass.
Thank you for giving me the best memories of my life.
But say goodbye, Jillian. Let me go. Take the splendor and wonder that we've shared. And let me go.
Her tears started then. He had already made up his mind, had already begun putting distance between them.
Just tell me, Grim,
she begged.
It can't be so bad. Whatever it is, we can deal with it together.
I'm an animal, Jillian. You do not know me.
I know you're the most honorable man I've ever met. I don't care what our life would be like. I would live any kind of life, so long as I lived it with you,
she hissed. As Grim backed away slowly, she watched the life disappear from his eyes, leaving his gaze wintry and hollow. She felt the moment she lost him. Something inside her emptied completely, leaving a void she suspected she might die from.
No.
He backed away. Occam followed, nickering gently.
You said you adored me. If you truly cared for me, you would fight to stay by my side.
He winced.
I care about you too much to hurt you.
That's weak! You don't know what caring is!
She shouted furiously.
Caring is love, and love fights. Love doesn't look for the path of least resistance. Hell's bells, Roderick! If love was that easy, everyone would have it. You're a coward!
He flinched, and a muscle jumped furiously in his jaw.
I am doing the honorable thing.
To hell with the honorable thing!
She shouted.
Love has no pride. Love looks for ways to endure.
Jillian, stop. You want more from me than I'm capable of.
Her gaze turned icy.
Obviously. I thought you were heroic in every way. But you're not. You're just a man, after all.
She cast her gaze away and held her breath, wondering if she'd goaded him far enough.
Goodbye, Jillian.
He leapt on his horse, and they seemed to melt into one beast, a creature of shadows disappearing into the night. She gaped in disbelief at the hole he'd left in her world. He'd left her. He'd really left her. A sob welled up within her, so painful that she doubled over.
"You coward!"
she whispered. Chapter 22. Ronan inserted the key into the lock, hesitated, then squared his shoulders firmly. He eyed the towering oak door that was banded with steel. It soared over his head, set in a lofty arch of stone. Deo non fortuna was chiseled in flowing script above the arch. By God, not by chance. For years, Ronan had denied those words, refused to come to this place, believing God had forsaken him. Deo non fortuna was the motto his clan had lived by, believing their special gifts were God-given and had purpose. Then his gift had resulted in Jolin's death. Ronan expelled an anxious breath, forcing himself to turn the key and push open the door. Rusty hinges shrieked the protest of long disuse. Cobwebs danced in the doorway, and the musty scent of forgotten legends greeted him. "Welcome to the Hall of Lords," the legends clamored. "Did you really think you could forget us?" 1,000 years of Maciliac graced the hall. Carved deep into the belly of the mountain, the chamber soared to a towering 50 feet. The curved walls met in a royal arch, and the ceilings were painted with graphic depictions of the epic heroes of their clan. His own Da had brought him here when he'd turned 16. He'd explained their noble history and guided Ronan through the change, guidance Ronan had been unable to provide his own son. But who would have thought Gavril would change so much sooner than any of them had? It had been totally unexpected. The battle with the McCain following so quickly on the heels of Jolin's savage murder had left Ronan too exhausted, too numbed by grief to reach out to his son. Although berserkers were difficult to kill, if one was wounded badly enough, it took time to heal. It had taken Ronan months to recover. The day the McCain had murdered Jolin, they'd left a shell of a man who hadn't wanted to heal. Immersed in his grief, he'd failed his son. He'd been unable to introduce Gavril to the life of a berserker, to train him in the secret ways of controlling the bloodlust. He hadn't been there to explain. He'd failed, and his son had run off to find a new family and a new life. As the passing years had weathered Ronan's body, he'd greeted each weary bone, each aching joint, and each newly discovered silver hair with gratitude, because it carried him one day closer to his beloved Jolin. But he couldn't go to Jolin yet. There were things yet undone. His son was coming home, and he would not fail him this time. With effort, Ronan forced his attention away from his deep guilt and back to the Hall of Lords. He hadn't even managed to cross the threshold. He squared his shoulders. Clutching a brightly burning torch, Ronan pushed his way through the cobwebs and into the hall. His footsteps echoed like small explosions in the vast stone chamber. He skirted a few pieces of moldy, forgotten furniture and followed the wall to the first portrait that had been etched in stone over 1,000 years ago. The oldest likenesses were stone, painted with faded mixtures of herbs and clays. The more recent portraits were charcoal sketches and paintings. The women in the portraits shared one striking characteristic. They were all breathtakingly radiant, positively brimming with happiness. The men shared a single distinction as well. All 958 males in this hall had eyes of blue ice. Ronan moved to the portrait of his wife and raised the torch. He smiled. Had some pagan deity offered him a bargain and said, "I will take away all the tragedy you have suffered in your life. I will take you back in time and give you dozens of sons and perfect peace, but you can never have Jolin." Ronan Maciliac would have scoffed. He would willingly embrace every bit of tragedy he'd endured to have loved Jolin, even for the painfully brief time they'd been allotted.
"I won't fail him this time, Jolin. I swear to you. I will see Castle Maldaban secured and filled with promise again. Then we'll be together to smile down upon this place.
After a long pause, he whispered fiercely,
I miss you, woman.
Outside the Hall of Lords, an astonished Giles entered the connecting hallway and paused, eyeing the open door in disbelief. Rushing down the corridor, he burst into the long-sealed hall, barely suppressing a whoop of delight at the sight of Ronan, no longer stooped, but standing proudly erect beneath the portrait of his wife and son. Ronan didn't turn, but Giles hadn't expected him to. Ronan always knew who was in his immediate circumference.
Have the maid set to cleaning, Giles,
Ronan commanded without taking his eyes off the portrait of his smiling wife.
Open this place up and air it out. I want the entire castle scrubbed as it hasna been since Majolin was alive. I want this place sparkling.
Ronan opened his arms expansively.
Light the torchieres, and henceforth keep them burning in here as they did years ago, day and night. My son is coming home,
he finished proudly.
Yes, my lord,
Giles exclaimed as he hastened off to obey a command he'd been waiting a lifetime to hear.
Where to now, Grim Roderick?
He wondered wearily. Back to Dalkeith, to see if he might lure destruction to those blessed shores? His hands fisted, and he longed for a bottomless bottle of whiskey, although he knew it wouldn't grant him the oblivion he sought. If a berserker drank quickly enough, he might feel drunk for the sum total of about 3 seconds. That wouldn't work at all. The McCain always found him eventually. He knew now that they must have had a spy in Durkesh. Likely, someone had seen the rage come over him in the courtyard of the tavern, then tried to poison him. The McCain had learned over the years to attack stealthily. Cunning traps or sheer numbers were the only possible ways to take a berserker, and neither of them was foolproof. Now that he had escaped the McCain twice, he knew the next time they struck, they would descend in force. First, they'd tried poison, then the fire at the stables. Grim knew if he had remained at Caithness, they might have destroyed the entire castle, taking out all the St. Clair in their blind quest to kill him. He'd become acquainted with their unique fanaticism at an early age, and it was a lesson he'd never forgotten. They'd blessedly lost track of him during the years he'd been in Edinburgh. The McCain were fighters, not royal arse-kissers, and they devoted little attention to the events at court. He'd hidden in plain sight. Then, when he'd moved from court to Dalkeith, he'd encountered a few new people, and those he had met were abjectly loyal to Hawk. He'd started to relax his guard and begun to feel almost normal. What an intriguing, tantalizing word, normal.
Take it away, Odin. I was wrong, Grim whispered. I do not wish to be berserk any longer.
But Odin didn't seem to care. Grim had to face the facts. Now that the McCain had found him again, they would tear the country apart looking for him. It wasn't safe for him to be near other people. It was time for a new name, perhaps a new country. His thoughts turned to England, but every ounce of Scott in him rebelled. How could he live without ever touching Gillian again? Having experienced such joy, how could he resume his barren existence? Christ, it would have been better if he'd never known what his life might have been like. On that fateful night above Tuluth, at the foolish age of 14, he'd called a berserker, begging for the gift of vengeance, never realizing how complete that vengeance would be. Vengeance didn't bring back the dead. It deadened the avenger. But there was really little point in regret, he mocked himself, for he owned the beast, and the beast owned him, and it was that simple. Resignation blanketed him, and only one issue remained. Where to now, Grim Roderick? He nudged Occam to the only place left to go. In the forbidding highlands he could disappear into the wilderness. He knew every empty hut and cave, every source of shelter from the bitter winter that would soon ice white caps around the mountains.
He would be so cold again.
Guiding Occam with his knees, he plaited war braids into his hair and wondered if an invincible berserker could die from something so innocuous as a broken heart. Gillian gazed sadly at the blackened lawn of Caithness. Everything was a reminder. It was November, and the hated lawn would be black until the first snowfall came to smother it. She couldn't step outside the castle without being forced to remember that night, the fire, Grim leaving. The lawn sloped and rolled in a vast, never-ending carpet of black ash. All her flowers were gone. Grim was gone. He'd abandoned her because he was a coward. She'd tried to make excuses for him, but there were none to be made. The most courageous man she'd ever known was afraid to love. Well, to hell with him, she thought defiantly. She felt pain, she wouldn't deny it. The mere thought of living without him for the rest of her life was unbearable, but she refused to dwell on it. That would be the sure path to emotional collapse. So she stoked her anger against him, clutching it like a shield to her wounded heart.
"He's not coming back, lass," Ramsay said gently.
Gillian clenched her jaw and spun to face him.
"I think I figured that out, Ramsay," she said evenly.
Ramsay studied her in a stalwart stance. When she moved to leave, his hand shot out and wrapped around her wrist. She tried to snatch it away, but he was too strong.
"Marry me, Gillian. I swear to you I'll treat you like a queen. I will never abandon you."
"Not so long as there's coin in keeping me," she thought.
"Let go of me,"
she hissed. He didn't budge.
"Gillian, consider your situation. Your parents will be back any day now and expect you to wed. They'll likely force you to choose when they return. I would be good to you," he promised.
"I will never wed,"
she said with absolute conviction. His demeanor altered instantly. When his sneering gaze slid over her abdomen, she was shocked. When he spoke, she was rendered momentarily speechless.
"If a bastard quickens in your belly, you may think differently, lass," he said with a smirk. "Then your parents will force you to wed, and you'll be counting your blessings if any decent man will have you. There's a name for women like you. You're not so pure," he spat.
"How dare you!"
she cried. The instinct to slap the smirk from his face was overwhelming, and she acted upon it reflexively. Ramsay's face whitened with rage, and the red welt from her blow stood out in stark relief. He caught her other wrist and pulled her close, bristling with anger.
"You'll regret that one day, lass."
He shoved her away so savagely she stumbled. For an instant, she saw something so brutal in his eyes that she feared he might force her to the ground and beat her, or worse. She scrambled to her feet and dashed for the castle on trembling legs.
"He's not coming back, Gillian,"
Kaylee said gently.
"I know that. For God's sake, could everyone please just quit saying that to me? Do I look dense? Is that it?"
Kaylee's eyes filled with tears, and Gillian was instantly remorseful.
"Oh, Kaylee, I didn't mean to yell at you. I haven't been myself lately. It's just that I'm worried about things. Things like babies,"
Kaylee said carefully. Gillian stiffened.
"Is it possible?"
Kaylee trailed off. Gillian averted her gaze guiltily.
"Oh, lass."
Kaylee wrapped her in her ample embrace.
"Oh, lass,"
she echoed helplessly. 2 weeks later, Gibraltar and Elizabeth St. Clair returned. Gillian was torn by mixed emotions. She was elated to have them home, yet she dreaded seeing them, so she hid in her chambers and waited for them to come to her. And they did, but not until the next morning. In retrospect, she realized she'd been a fool to give her clever Da any time to ferret out information before confronting her. When the summons finally came, she shivered, and the last vestige of excitement at seeing her parents turned to pure dread. She dragged her feet all the way to the study.
"Mama! Da!"
Gillian exclaimed. She vaulted into their arms, greedily snatching hugs before they could launch the interrogation she knew was coming.
"Gillian?"
Gibraltar terminated the hug so quickly, Gillian knew she was in dire straits indeed.
"How's Hugh? And my new nephew?"
she asked brightly. Gibraltar and Elizabeth exchanged glances. Then Elizabeth sank into a chair near the fire, abandoning Gillian to deal with Gibraltar by herself.
"Have you chosen a husband yet, Gillian?"
Gibraltar skirted all niceties. Gillian drew a deep breath.
"That's what I wish to speak with you about, Da. I've had a lot of time to think."
She swallowed nervously as Gibraltar eyed her dispassionately. Dispassionate never boded well for her. It meant her Da was furious. She cleared her throat anxiously.
"I have decided, after much consideration, I mean, I've really thought this through, that I..."
Gillian broke off. She had to stop warbling like an idiot. Her Da would never be swayed by tepid protests.
"Da, I really don't plan to wed. Ever."
There, it was out.
"I mean, I appreciate everything you and Mama have done for me. Never think I don't. But marriage is just not for me."
She punctuated her words with a confident nod. Gibraltar regarded her with an unnerving mixture of amusement and condescension.
"Nice try, Gillian. But I'm not playing games anymore. I brought 3 men here for you, only 2 are left, and you will marry one of them. I've had it with your shenanigans. You're going to be 22 in a month, and either de Moncrief or Logan will make a perfectly good husband. There will be no more moping about and no crafty little ploys. Which one will you wed?" he demanded, a bit more forcefully than he'd intended.
"Gibraltar!"
Elizabeth protested. She rose from her chair, ruffled by his high-handed tone.
"Stay out of this, Elizabeth. She's played me for a fool for the last time. Gillian will summon up one reason after another why she can't wed until we're both too old to do anything about it."
"Gibraltar, we will not force her to wed someone she doesn't want."
Elizabeth stamped a dainty foot to punctuate her decree.
"She's going to have to accept the fact that she can't have the man she wants, Elizabeth. He was here, and he left, and that's the end of the matter."
Gibraltar sighed, eyeing his daughter's rigid back as she stood plucking at the folds of her gown.
"Elizabeth, I tried. Don't you think I tried? I knew how Gillian felt about Grimm, but I won't force the man to wed her, and even if I did, what good would that do? Gillian doesn't want a forced husband."
"You knew I loved him?"
Gillian exclaimed. She almost ran to him, but caught herself and stiffened further. Gibraltar almost laughed. A broom handle couldn't have been more rigid than his daughter's spine. Stubborn, just like her mother.
"Of course, lass. I've seen it in your eyes for years. So I brought him here for you. And now Cayley tells me that he left the Senate to go and told you to marry Quinn. Gillian, he's gone. He's made his feelings clear."
Gibraltar drew himself up.
"I am not going to fling my daughter at some inconsiderate bastard who's too much a fool to see what kind of a treasure he'd be getting. I will not gift my Gillian to a man who can't appreciate how rare a woman she is. What kind of father would I be to chase a man down and throw my daughter after him?"
Elizabeth sniffed, blinking back a tear.
"You brought him because you knew she loved him?"
she cooed.
"Oh, Gibraltar, even though I didn't think he was right for her, you saw through it all. You knew what Gillian wanted."
Gibraltar's pleasure at his wife's adoration quickly evaporated when Gillian's shoulders slumped in defeat.
"I never knew you knew how I felt, Da,"
Gillian said in a small voice.
"Of course I did. Just as I know how you feel now. But you have to face the facts. He left, Gillian."
"I know he left. Must you all keep reminding me?"
"Yes, if you persist in trying to fritter your life away. I gave him the chance, and he was too much a fool to take it. You must move on with your life, lass."
"He didn't think he was good enough for me,"
Gillian murmured.
"Is that what he said?"
Elizabeth asked quickly. Gillian blew a tendril of hair from her face.
"Sort of. He said that I couldn't possibly understand what would happen if he married me. And he's right. Whatever terrible thing he thinks it is, I can't even begin to guess. He acts like there's some dreadful secret about him, and Mama, I can't convince him otherwise. I can't even begin to imagine what horrible thing he thinks is wrong with him. Grimm Roderick is the best man I've ever known, except for you, Da."
Jillian smiled weakly at her father before crossing to the window to stare out at the blackened lawn. Gibraltar's eyes narrowed, and he gazed thoughtfully at Elizabeth, who had raised her eyebrows in surprise.
"She still doesn't know. Tell her,"
Elizabeth mouthed, shooting a glance at her daughter's stiff back.
"That he's a berserker,"
Gibraltar mouthed back, disbelieving.
"He must tell her himself."
"He can't. He's not here."
"He refuses, and I won't fix it for him. If he can't bring himself to trust her, she shouldn't marry him. He's obviously not man enough for my Jillian."
"Our Jillian."
He shrugged. Crossing the study, he cupped Jillian's shoulders with comforting hands.
"I'm sorry, Jillian. I truly am. I thought maybe he'd changed over the years, but he hasn't. Still, it doesn't alter the fact that you must wed. I'd like it to be Quinn."
She stiffened and hissed softly.
"I am not marrying anyone."
"Yes, you are," Gibraltar enunciated sternly. "I am posting the banns tomorrow, and in 3 weeks' time you are going to marry someone."
Jillian whirled around to face him, her eyes flashing.
"You should know. I became his lover."
Elizabeth fanned herself furiously. Gibraltar shrugged. Elizabeth gaped first at Jillian, then at her unresponsive husband.
"That's all? A shrug?"
Jillian blinked at her father disbelievingly.
"Well, while you may not care, I hardly think my husband-to-be would cheerily accept it, do you, Da?"
"I wouldn't mind,"
Quinn said quietly, startling them all with his unannounced presence.
"I'd marry you on any terms, Jillian."
All eyes flew to Quinn de Moncrief, whose broad golden frame filled the doorway.
"Good man," Gibraltar said firmly.
"Oh, Quinn,"
Jillian said sadly.
"You deserve better."
"I've told you as much before, lass. I'll take you on any terms. Grim's a fool, but I'm not. I'll marry you happily, no regrets. I've never understood why a woman's supposed to be untouched when a man's expected to be as touched as possible."
"Then it's settled," Gibraltar concluded quickly.
"No, it's not."
"Yes, it is, Jillian," Gibraltar said sternly. "You will marry in 3 weeks, period, end of conversation."
He turned away.
"You can't do this to me."
"Wait."
Ramsay Logan stepped into the doorway behind Quinn.
"I'd like to offer for her too."
Gibraltar assessed the two men in the doorway and slowly turned his regard to his daughter, who stood, mouth ajar.
"You have 12 hours to choose, Jillian. I post the banns at dawn."
"Mama! You can't let him do this!"
Jillian wailed. Elizabeth St. Clair drew herself erect and sniffed before following Gibraltar from the study.
"What on earth do you think you're doing now, Gibraltar?"
Elizabeth demanded. Gibraltar leaned back, resting on the sill of the window in their bedroom, the hair on his chest glinting gold between the folds of his silk robe in the soft glow of the firelight. Elizabeth reclined on the bed nude and, Gibraltar marveled, breathtaking.
"By Odin's spear, woman, you know I can refuse you nothing when I see you like that."
"Then don't make Jillian wed, love,"
Elizabeth said simply. There were no games between her and her husband, and there never had been. Elizabeth firmly believed most problems in a relationship could be cleared up or avoided entirely by clear, concise communication. Games invited unnecessary discord.
"I don't plan to,"
Gibraltar replied with a faint smile.
"It will never go that far."
"Whatever do you mean?"
Elizabeth removed the pins from her hair, allowing it to cascade in golden waves over her bare breasts.
"Is this another one of your infamous plans, Gibraltar?"
she asked with lazy amusement.
"Yes."
He sank to the edge of the bed beside her. He ran his hand down the smooth shape of her side, contouring the lovely indentation of her waist, soaring over the lush curve of her hip.
"If she hadn't admitted that she'd become his lover, I might not have felt so confident. But he's a berserker, Elizabeth. There is only one true mate for each berserker, and they know it. He cannot allow the wedding to take place. A berserker would die first."
Elizabeth's eyes brightened, and understanding penetrated her sensual languor.
"You're posting the bans to antagonize him, because it's the most effective way to force him to declare himself.
As always, we understand each other perfectly, don't we, my dear? What better way to bring him back to run?
How clever! I hadn't thought of that. There's no way a berserker would allow his mate to wed another.
Let's just hope all the legends about those warriors are true, Elizabeth. Gavril's da told me years ago that once a berserker makes love with his own true mate, he can no longer mate with another woman. Gavril is even more berserk than his da. He'll come for her, and when he does, he'll have no choice but to tell her the truth. We'll get our wedding in 3 weeks, no doubt about it, and it will be to the man she wants, Grimm.
What about Quinn's feelings?
Quinn doesn't really believe she'll marry him. He is also of the opinion that Grimm will come. I spoke with Quinn before I made Gillian choose, and he agreed to do this. Although I must admit, Ramsay certainly surprised me with his offer.
You mean you had all this planned out before you confronted her?
Elizabeth was amazed once again by the twists and turns of her husband's brilliant scheming mind.
It was one of several possible plans, Gibraltar corrected. A man must anticipate every possibility when the women he loves are concerned.
My hero,
Elizabeth fluttered her eyelashes. Gibraltar covered her body with his.
I'll show you a hero, he growled.
Gibraltar hadn't thought even his cosseted Gillian could pout, sulk, and be nasty for 3 solid weeks. She could. Ever since the morning she'd slipped a note bearing one word, Quinn, under her parents' bedroom door, she'd refused to speak to him in anything but single-word replies. Everyone else in the castle she harangued with the same questions. How many bans had been posted, when, and where?
Were they posted in Durkesh, Cayley?
Gillian fretted.
Yes, Gillian. What about Skerrington and Edinburgh?
Yes, Gillian, Hatchard sighed, knowing it was futile to remind her he'd answered the same question the day before.
And the smaller villages in the Highlands, when were they posted there?
Days ago, Gillian,
Gibraltar interrupted her interrogation. Gillian sniffed and turned her back on her da.
Why do you care where the bans have been posted?
Gibraltar provoked.
Just curious,
Gillian said lightly as she strode regally from the room.
He'll come, Mama. I know he will.
Elizabeth smiled and smoothed Gillian's hair, but weeks passed, and Grimm didn't come. Even Quinn started to get a little nervous.
What will we do if he doesn't show?
Quinn asked. He paced the study, moving his long legs silently. The wedding was tomorrow, and no one had heard a word from Grimm Roderick. Gibraltar poured them both a drink.
He has to come.
Quinn picked up the goblet and sipped thoughtfully.
He must know the wedding is tomorrow. The only way he could possibly not know is if he is no longer in Scotland. We posted those blasted bans in every village of over 50 inhabitants.
Gibraltar and Quinn stared at the fire and drank for a time in silence.
If he doesn't come, I'll go through with it.
Now why would you be doing that, lad?
Gibraltar asked gently. Quinn shrugged.
I love her. I always have.
Gibraltar shook his head.
There's love, and then there's love, Quinn. And if you're not ready to kill Grimm simply for touching Gillian, then it's not the Marian kind of love you're feeling. She's not for you.
When Quinn made no reply, Gibraltar laughed aloud and slapped him on the thigh.
Oh, she's definitely not for you. You didn't even argue with me.
Grimm said something very similar. He asked me if I really loved her. If she made me crazy inside.
Gibraltar smiled knowingly.
That's because she does make him crazy inside.
I want her to be happy, Gibraltar,
Quinn said fervently.
Gillian is special. She's generous and beautiful and so... Ugh, so damned in love with Grimm.
Gibraltar raised his goblet to Quinn's and smiled.
That she is. If push comes to shove, I'll stop the ceremony and give her a choice. But I won't let her marry you without giving her that choice.
As he drank, he regarded Quinn thoughtfully.
Actually, I'm not sure I'd let her marry you even then.
You wound me,
Quinn protested.
She's my baby girl, Quinn. I want love for her. Real love. The kind that makes a man crazy inside.
Jillian curled into a ball on the window ledge of the drum tower and stared, unseeing, into the night. Thousands of stars dimpled the sky, but she saw none of them. Staring into the night was like staring into a great vacuum, her future without Grimm. How could she wed Quinn? How could she refuse? Grimm obviously wasn't coming. The bans had been posted throughout the country. There was absolutely no way he could not know that tomorrow Jillian St. Clair was going to wed Quinn de Moncrief. The whole blasted country knew it. 3 weeks ago she might have run away, but not tonight. Not 3 weeks late for her monthly flow, not with no word from Grimm, not after believing in him and being proven a lovesick fool. Jillian rested her palm on her stomach. It was possible she was pregnant, but she wasn't absolutely certain. Her monthly flow had often been irregular, and she had been later than this in the past. Mama had told her that many things besides pregnancy could affect a woman's courses, emotional turmoil, or a woman's own devout wish that she was pregnant. Was that it? Did she so long to be pregnant with Grimm Roderick's child that she'd fooled herself? Or was there truly a baby growing inside her? How she wished she knew for certain. She drew a deep breath and expelled it slowly. Only time would tell. She'd considered striking out on her own, tracking him down, and fighting for their love. But a defiant shred of pride coupled with good common sense made her refuse. Grimm was in the thick of a battle with himself, and it was a battle he had to win or lose. She'd offered her love, told him she would accept any kind of life as long as they lived it together. A woman shouldn't have to fight the man she loved for his love. He had to choose to give it freely, to learn that love was the one thing in this world that wasn't frightening. He was an intelligent man and a brave one. He would come. Jillian sighed. God forgive her, but she still believed. He would come. Chapter 23. He didn't come. The day of her wedding dawned cloudy and cold. Sleet started falling at dawn, coating the charred lawn with a layer of crunchy black ice. Jillian stayed in bed, listening to the sounds of the castle preparing for the wedding feast. Her stomach rumbled a welcome to the scents of roasting ham and pheasant. It was a feast to wake the dead, and it worked. She stumbled from the bed and groped her way through the dimly lit room to the mirror. She stared at her reflection. Dark shadows marred the delicate skin where her cheekbones met her tilted amber eyes. She would marry Quinn de Moncrief in less than 6 hours. The rumble of voices carried clearly into her chambers. Half the county was in residence, and had been since yesterday. 400 guests had been invited, and 500 had arrived, crowding the massive castle and spilling over into less accommodating lodgings in the nearby village. 500 people, more than she would ever have at her funeral, tramping around the frozen black lawn. Jillian squeezed her eyes tightly shut and refused to cry, certain she'd weep blood if she allowed even one more tear to fall. At 11 o'clock, Elizabeth St. Clair dabbed prettily at her tears with a dainty hanky.
"You look lovely, Jillian," she said with a heartfelt sigh. "Oh, even more so than I did. You don't think the bags under my eyes detract, Mama?"
Jillian asked acerbically.
"How about the grim set of my mouth? My shoulders droop and my nose is beet red from crying. You don't think anyone will find my appearance a bit suspect?"
Elizabeth sniffed, plunked a headpiece on Jillian's hair, and tugged a thin fall of sheer blue gossamer over her daughter's face.
"Your da thinks of everything," she said with a shrug.
"A veil? Really, Mama, no one wears a veil in these modern times."
"Well, just think of it, you'll start a new fashion. By the end of the year, everyone will be wearing them again,"
Elizabeth chirped.
"How can he do this to me, Mama? Knowing the kind of love you and he share, how can he justify condemning me to a loveless marriage?"
"Quinn does love you, so it won't be loveless."
"It will be, on my part."
Elizabeth perched on the edge of the bed. She studied the floor a moment, then raised her eyes to Jillian's.
"You do care,"
Jillian said, somewhat mollified by the sympathy in Elizabeth's gaze.
Of course I care, Gillian. I'm your mother.
Elizabeth regarded her a pensive moment.
Darling, don't fret. Your dad has a plan. I hadn't intended to tell you this, but he doesn't plan to make you go through with it. He thinks Grim will come.
Gillian snorted.
So did I, Mama. But it's 10 minutes to the hour, and there's no sign of the man. What's Dar going to do? Halt the wedding in the middle if he doesn't show up? In front of 500 guests? You know your Da has never been afraid of making a spectacle of himself, or of anyone else, for that matter. The man abducted me from my wedding. I do believe he's hoping the same will happen to you.
Gillian smiled faintly. The story of her Mama's courtship by her Da had enthralled her since she'd been a child. Her Da was a man who could give Grim lessons. Grim Roderick shouldn't be battling himself about her. He should be battling the world for her. Gillian drew a deep breath, hoping against hope, imagining such a scene for herself.
We are gathered here today in the company of family, friends, and well-wishers to unite this man and woman in the holy, unbreakable bonds.
Gillian blew furiously at her veil. Although it puffed a bit, it didn't clear her view. The preacher was slightly blue. Quinn was slightly blue. Irritably, she plucked at the veil. No rose-colored hues for her on her wedding day. And why should there be? Outside the tall windows, sleet fell in vaguely blue sheets. She stole a glance at Quinn, who stood at her side. She was eye level with his chest. Despite her despair, she conceded he was a magnificent man. Regally clad in ceremonial tartan, he'd pulled his long hair back from his chiseled face. Most women would be thrilled to be standing beside him, saying the vows of a lifetime, accompanying him to be mistress of his estate, to give him bonny blonde bairns and live in splendor for the rest of their days. But he was the wrong man.
He'll come for me. He'll come for me. I know he will.
Gillian repeated silently, as if it were a magic spell she could weave from the fibers of sheer redundancy. Grim plucked another band from the wall of a church as he sped by. He crumpled it and crammed it in a satchel that was overflowing with balled-up parchment. He'd been in the tiny Highland